Now, as you examine the mound or mounts, you're going to realize that some hands feel a little fleshy, like there's a lot of padding there, there's a lot of cushioning, and some don't. As I've mentioned before, people with fleshy palms, and there's a lot to squish there, those people enjoy the luxuries that life has to offer. They enjoy indulging, sometimes overindulging. And as you might have guessed, people with less spongy palms tend to steer away from the simple pleasures. Overindulgence is not a problem for them. They can have one piece of cake without eating the entire cake, but the spongy palm person needs to beware. If they start down the path of eating a cake, they will probably finish it off. Better for them to avoid cake if they're trying to avoid overindulgence, because they are prone to overindulgence. Spongy palm equals prone to overindulgence. People with firm palms have the advantage of dealing with the twists and turns that life can throw their way, whereas the spongy palm people are so used to being cushioned in life that they have difficulty dealing with change. What about a hairy hand versus a not hairy hand? As common sense would probably tell you, if a man's hand is hairy, he is very masculine. The hairier the hand on the back, now, of course, we're not talking about the palm, the back of the hand, the hairier the back of the hand, the more masculine the man is. A lot of hair on the back of the hand, for a male or a female, reveals a very developed physical appetite, which could, of course, translate into a very developed sexual appetite, similar to a well-developed mound of Venus. If they have both, you have a person with a tremendous appetite for life. They need to be engaged in something. They need to really feel something physically going on, sexual or otherwise. Maybe they like to work out a lot. Maybe they like to run. Maybe they find themselves getting involved in fights because they're not channeling their energies properly. Now, here's something fascinating about palm reading, because you would think that people with large hands would enjoy doing things that large hands would require, meaning big things that don't require a lot of detail. But interestingly enough, what you're going to find is that people with larger hands enjoy doing more detailed work. I'll give you a couple examples. Billy Joel, piano player. His hands are actually too big to play guitar properly. I heard him say that at a concert one time. Luckily, he prefers to play piano. But the piano, if you think about it, is very detailed. There's a lot of detail going there. The way you touch the keys, how hard or how soft, which keys you're touching. Large hands, detailed work. A friend of mine is a surgeon. Very large hands, very detailed work. People with small hands, on the other hand, pardon the pun once again, like to be noticed for their big projects. So that's what they're going to take on, big projects. Big hands equals small detailed projects. Small hands equal large projects. Let's talk about the major lines in palm reading. There are four major lines that I'd like you to know. The heart, head, life, and destiny lines. You're going to find that the majority of your readings have a lot to do with these lines. These lines provide a tremendous amount of information. And most people who know about palm reading, who know a little bit, know about these lines. So they will expect you, in doing a palm reading, to tell them about these lines and what's going on with them. Also, when you read your own palms, you can find out tremendous amounts of information about yourself by looking at your lines. The lines that occur on the palms of your hands. Essentially, the heart line is about the person's emotional life. The head line is about the person's mental life. The life line is about the person's life in general and their physical energy. The destiny line is about the person's destiny, what they are supposed to do. And this can give a tremendous amount of hope to people. People who don't think they have a reason for living, if you show them their destiny line and explain what's going on with it, you can give them hope. And you can also rekindle hope within yourself by analyzing your own destiny line. And you can also get the person directed and motivated. They can understand where they should go, what they should do, and they can get pumped up about it. Let's face it, if there's some future that they need to live into, they need to be around to do that, and they need to make it happen. So understanding the destiny line and sharing that information with others can really help get them motivated. Now, in a perfect world, all lines on the hand would be very clear, and they would be very clear because they would be very deep into the hand, almost like trenches in the hand, very clear lines that you can see without squinting or needing the person to close their palm a little bit. And by the way, if you have trouble seeing their lines, you can ask them to close their palm just a little bit, just enough, so that the lines start to appear clearly. Because in most cases, the lines are not as clear as you need them to be to read them properly. And they're not as clear as they should be in order to indicate the highest amount of energy in each of these areas. So let's take it from the top. The heart line is the top line. So look at your palm, either one, and look at the top line on your hand. Pretty much a horizontal line, but it should have a slight diagonal curve to it. So it starts below your little finger and moves across your hand and finishes somewhere probably between your first and second fingers. If your heart line is curved at the end, this is called a physical heart line. People with a physical heart line find it fairly easy to talk about what they want and how they feel. They can express themselves in a very assertive way. They also recover quickly when things happen to them. When unfortunate events happen to people with a physical heart line, they are able to recover more quickly than those without it. There's also a mental heart line. This is another variation, another possibility of the heart line. The mental heart line runs straight across the palm, and it does not curve upward in the direction of the fingers at the end. So whereas the physical heart line takes a curve toward the fingers, the mental heart line does not. And when I say straight across the palm, it can run at a slight angle, diagonally, and still be considered a mental heart line. This type of person with this type of line will find it difficult to express their feelings, and they need to be reassured that everything's okay and that people love them. This is a sensitive type of person. They keep things inside. They keep their feelings inside. Now, if you're looking at two people who are in love or considering being in love, it would make a lot of sense and it would be very helpful in the relationship if they had similar heart lines. Similar heart lines indicates compatibility. Now, you may think just because it's related to the heart in a love sense, and it is, but you may think just because of that, that it doesn't have much to do with physical health. Well, the heart line has a lot to do with physical health because our physical well-being is tied up in our emotional well-being. So where the line ends is very crucial. I want you to look at your palm again, either one, and notice where this line ends. If the heart line ends below the first finger, then you are an idealist. You like things to be just right. And as will happen, other people will let you down time and time again. Because let's face it, this is not a perfect world and people are not perfect. So if your heart line ends below your first finger, you tend to be an idealist and a bit of a perfectionist. If your heart line ends under your second finger, or your middle finger, then you tend to be a little selfish, more concerned with what you need than with what other people need. And you tend to shy away from emotional commitment to people. Now, if your heart line ends between the two fingers, between the first and second, or between the index and middle finger, this means that you have a balance between being a perfectionist and being selfish. You have a balance. So you'll be interested in your needs and the needs of others. You'll also have high ideals, but you'll understand reality. You'll understand people's flaws, and you'll be okay with that. Now, what if you're looking at your hand, and your heart line has split in two different directions? This means that you have a few qualities of the physical and a few qualities of the mental heart lines. Physical heart line and the mental heart line both apply to you. This obviously makes you a bit of a complex person, makes you a bit of an interesting person to deal with when it comes to matters of the heart. But at the same time, you're able to see different points of view because of this dual nature. What if you're looking at your hand or someone else's hand and you notice three different lines at the end? It's split into three different lines. This is called a trident. And although there's no specific meaning in the heart line, it does indicate that the person who has this will have a very fortunate life. Now, as I mentioned, ideally in a perfect world, all the lines would be deep and well-defined and you would be able to see them clearly without having the person close their palm at all. But I also told you this usually doesn't happen. I want you to look at your palm more carefully now and look at the heart line. Look at the line itself and notice if there are any ovals in it. Notice if it looks braided, like there are little islands in it. Do you see any of those? Sometimes you have to stretch your palm open really widely to see these. They're also called chains sometimes. These, when they show up in your heart line, indicate times of emotional turmoil, emotional anxiety, when things weren't quite working out as you wanted them to. Usually, since this is the heart line, these are related to relationships. And you can look at the heart line and see when the person has limitations that you're really feeling, like gravity, for example. But in your imagination, there aren't any. So you might think, what's the use of using your imagination if it has certain properties to it that don't apply to the physical world, to the real world? Well, I want to tell you that a lot of the things that you think apply to the real world really don't. A lot of the limitations that you think you have, you don't really have. You're just imagining them. Those are already in your imagination, but you've made them real. Why don't we take good things from your imagination, good powerful things that are actually going to help you, and bring those into your real life? You've already done it with things that are limiting. Let's do it with things that are great and helpful. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be able to have superhuman strength, but I'm saying that your possibilities are a lot greater than you think they are right now, and your imagination is the key to unlocking the door that's going to allow you to live in a universe where a lot more things are possible to you. So, what I'm going to do now is give you an opportunity to close your eyes. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to get out of your way and just let your thoughts run wild. All of the thoughts that have been coming to you while listening to this program, let them run wild in your mind and then start to see patterns, start to put them into place, start to take control of them and start to see how maybe you can change some of the things that you're doing and make your life better. Do this exercise now of just letting your imagination run wild with these new ideas. As I am silent. All right. How was that? Did you have a lot of ideas floating around at first? Maybe some strange ideas came in? Sometimes I close my eyes and I don't know what's going to come into my imagination because my imagination is open and anything goes. But what I often find is that the things from my imagination are not always fantasy. Sometimes they're things that I can do. I can find a way to make them happen. And if I didn't take the time to step away from my problems, my challenges, and use my imagination, I probably wouldn't have thought of the solution. So this exercise can be very helpful. I hope you use it beyond this program as well. Sometimes you can get so caught up in a problem that you just need to step away, close your eyes, and use your imagination and see what happens, see what comes to you. All right, I hope you enjoyed this exercise. Now, there's certainly something you've learned from this module, isn't there? I want to make sure you're with me. I want to make sure you're paying attention and learning things. So what I want you to do, you know the drill. I want you to take out a pen and paper, as long as you're not driving. Take out a pen and paper, or you can do this on your computer if you want to. Doesn't matter. Write it on the wall if you want to. I want you to write 5 things that either I said to you that resonated with you, or 5 things that just came to you, or a combination of both. As I'm silent, write down 5 things that you thought of, whether I said them or you thought them. Write down 5 things that you thought of so far in this module. Do this now as I'm silent. Good. Now I want you to elaborate on those. I want you to elaborate on point number 1. Do that now as I'm silent. Good. Now, point number 2. What was point number 2? Something that either I said or that came to you while you're listening to this module, something that came to you that really resonated with you. I want you to elaborate on that now. Give it a plan. Give it some feeling. If it's something like, I think I should change my life in this way, well, how are you going to change your life in that way? Go ahead and elaborate on it now as I'm silent. Good. Now take point number 3, and I want you to elaborate on that now as I'm silent. Point number 3, fill it in. Good. Now point number 4, go ahead and elaborate on point number 4 as I'm silent. All right, and the final point, point number 5, the thing that came to you, that thing that came to you while I was talking, go ahead and elaborate on it. Point number 5, you've already done 1 through 4, 5 will be easy for you. Go ahead and elaborate on it now. Give some feeling to it, give some plan to it, give something to it. Write a sentence or a paragraph or something that really tells what point number 5 is all about. It's a thought that came to you while I was talking. So fill it in, elaborate on it as I am silent. Good. And now let's continue with the information.